This morning, our theme exhortation will be given by Brother Will Jackson. His portion of our theme verses is, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So we'll give our attention now to our Brother Will.
Good morning, everyone. Well, the section that I'm going to be talking about is, as was announced, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart." And to me, that is kind of the crux of the whole passage. And so I was happy to get to talk about that. And, you know, going back on a little bit of background, which we had yesterday also, but as a refresher, this is really where they were sent into exile. They were being told that they would be in exile for 70 years in this letter, and it was because they hadn't listened to God. And I think that we're really kind of in the same situation in terms of danger, and that we're in exile. They had followed other gods. They hadn't really had a focus on God. And I think that's something that we have to kind of pay attention to in our lives as well, and as a risk. You know, we can be at risk of having not so much an idol that we put up on our stand and worship, but, you know, things like money, careers, health, fitness, things like that can become a god to us if we start putting too much confidence or too much faith in that as that being what will make our lives be better or more perfect or offer us a salvation of sorts. And I think the other risk is that our lives get really busy with, again, our careers and school and children and things like that. And there can be a risk of just not making enough time for God and having him become forgotten. And when we look at this chapter, if you go back to the beginning of the letter, which is, I'm going to read a few verses in 4 to 7, chapter 29, verses 4 through 7. "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper." So it wasn't a situation where they were supposed to just kind of sit in this country and wait out their exile, or maybe another word for it, almost like a prison term. They were in a situation where they lived in the world, which is kind of the same as us, right? We aren't in the kingdom yet. We do live in the world. And we see this instruction that was given to them that's probably applicable to us as well, that we have to live our lives out. We have to be a part of the world and actively, you know, an active positive force within society. But within that, not forgetting where we come from, not forgetting God. And it's kind of interesting to me that there's a pretty strong echo when you think about where it says in Matthew 24 that it would be like in the times of Noah, they would marry, they would be given in marriage, they would live their lives. It's kind of the same thing here. But in that warning about the coming of our Lord, they were told, or we are told, that they kind of forgot about God and all that. So I think that that is a big warning for us not to get so busy with living our lives that we forget about God and push him aside. I think it's also interesting that it says that they were to pray for that country that they were in, and that their fortune would be tied to its fortune. And especially with this being an election year here in the United States, we hear a lot of rhetoric, and, you know, some of us within our community become very passionate about politics, even though, you know, we generally don't participate. There's a lot of people that are really passionate about it. And I think that sometimes we have to step back and realize that God is in control, and that we do have to pray for our leaders, even if those leaders aren't the ones that, you know, we would have preferred that had been selected. So kind of, you know, some interesting points about living in the world that we're in. You know, when we think about that verse 13 that's part of the theme we've been reading every day, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And so I want to take the kind of second 5 minutes that I'm up here and talk a little bit about what that means to me based on Scripture. And, you know, that key of seeking me with all your heart or wholeheartedly is a question that kind of can come to mind, like, what does that really mean? You know, there are some cliches that I think are really fairly true and, you know, worth bringing up. You can't serve God and mammon. You have to be focused on one thing. And for us, that one thing has to be God. Or a house divided cannot stand. And the point is that we have to have one primary principle focus. And that principle focus for us, if we want God to be there for us and answer our prayers, has to be seeking and serving Him. You know, there's the verses in Matthew chapter 7, which, you know, we have songs written to and so forth. But in Matthew 7:7, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." And this is in the Greek present imperative, which indicates a constant seeking, a constant asking, a constant knocking. It's not just saying once, "Lord, please deliver me." It's going back again and again and again. And I think that it emphasizes persistence, and it emphasizes that has to be the principal focus. Yes, we live our lives in the world. We have to do all these other things. But our first priority, our first focus has to be seeking our Lord. And if that is it, then we will be found. Or He will be found, I should say. And then, you know, kind of the opposite of that is found in James. And in James chapter 4, in verses 2 through 4, he says, "You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures." And so here James in this letter is talking about how it's not enough to just go through the motions of seeking God in prayer. You have to actually be focused on it. And if our focus is on following God and His will, then our behavior and our motives will become more in step with God, with what God would want us to do. And it's not that, you know, I'm sitting up here saying that anyone is going to be perfect as it relates to their motives or their actions, but if our first desire really is to seek God, then we're going to come much more in line with that, and our prayers will be answered, or more likely to be answered. And then I guess one final verse to me that's related to this subject is back in Proverbs, and it's Proverbs chapter 3, and this is one of my favorite verses, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." And so, to me, this gets down to trusting God more than trusting ourselves. Because, let's face it, how often do we have a situation in our life, and we know what God wants us to do, we know what the Bible says we should do in that situation, but we think we know better, and we don't want to do whatever it is, right? And so, to me, leaning not onto our own understanding is really important when our own thoughts or opinions on what should happen is different than what God's dictate is. And so, to me, seeking God with our whole heart comes back to choosing to do what God says, especially when it conflicts with what we want or what we think is best. And then also, you know, kind of going back to that Matthew passage, seeking, knocking, asking and doing that persistently. And so to me, it's that combination of persistent focus towards God and choosing to do what God would have us do, especially when it conflicts with what we think is better, that is really what seeking God with our whole heart is. So when we think about Jeremiah 29 in that letter, he says just before the passage that we recite every day that God has plans for us and he'll bring us out of exile. And this is if we seek him with our whole heart. And though we may have to wait 70 years, hopefully not, but they had to wait 70 and we might have to wait 70 or longer, that if we are seeking him with our whole heart, the kingdom will come for us. Thank you.